Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Hello, Real Life. How are we doing? It's good to see you guys. I'm glad you are here. If you're watching us, we're glad that you're with us wherever you're at. I'm excited to come into this place and kind of talk about some awesome stuff within God's Word. Before we dig in, my name is Christian, as Michael shared, and I get to do the adults ministry. And if you have not yet signed up for a group or not in one, man, we'd love to have that conversation with you. But before we dig into week two of the disciples' journey in this series, I always like to share a verse for us to really get us to go, all right, God, what are you going to do in me? Where am I at? To kind of pause. And so this verse is an amazing verse. This is Hebrews 4. It says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Man, when I was growing up, my view of God was more of an angry parent, a frustrated parent that I couldn't go to because I was fearful of getting in trouble. I was aware of my brokenness, but as I went through my drug addiction days for years and years, middle school, high school, out of high school, and when I came to know who God was and to see those things I was believing was a lie, I started to realize some amazing things about Jesus. That because of Jesus, we get to come before him boldly, not fearfully, not with our heads hanging low, but because of Jesus, God wants us to approach him. I don't know if you've ever tried to be around someone who's not very approachable. It's not very fun, right? Maybe they make you anxious. Have you ever been around anyone that made you anxious, or like they're judging you or fearful? Man, our God says, come to me boldly. Because of what I've done, because of who I am, I want relationship with you. And so as we journey through the journey today, I hope that you'll get one thing, even one thing that God would speak to you through his word, then that would be the win. A little bit of where we have been, and I want to spend a little bit more time than I normally would, just because this is our kind of core series that we go through each year. And we're talking about each of us as believers, when we come to know Jesus, we enter into this journey, this lifelong process of walking with God. And we talked about some cool things that, like when we start walking with God, we hop into almost like this relational vehicle for people who are discipling us. And for some of us, we didn't get that opportunity growing up. Or for some of you, you did. But there are people, as it says throughout Scripture, that the older are to teach the younger, that we're to find people in our lives to invest in us, to help us understand God's word and truth. And so we talked about getting into relational vehicles and journeying with people as Christ changed us, as we come to know who he is, as we start to be formed into the image of Christ through the Holy Spirit and through God's people and message, that we start to change. And we talked about that the fuel of that is abidance. It's abiding in Christ. And we use that term a lot, but abidance means, or abiding, is just to stay in, remain in, or continue on in. And in John 15:5, Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing." And if you skip to verses 9 and 10 in there, it says a part of that is remaining in my love. Man, I want to pause for a second and think about how cool that actually is. That our God says, man, a part of this walk with me is remaining in my love for you, knowing what I've done for you, who I am. And apart from me and apart from that, you're not going to be able to do anything. And so as we're on this journey, as we try to get into the relational vehicle with people headed towards a destination, that destination looks like growing in spiritual maturity, that we grow as we walk with Jesus. Here's the reality. I know that I need Jesus just as much now as when I first came to know Jesus. Anyone else feel me on that? Man, I need Jesus just as much now. The difference is that I look differently, but because Christ and what he's done, my salvation is based on Jesus and Jesus alone and what he's done on the cross, but he's in the process of changing me. And this week, we get to talk about, as we've talked about all of those things last week, we get to talk about the church sphere. And so if you're in our notes, if you're watching online, we're going to talk about the church sphere. Here's what I want to ask. I want to ask you a couple of questions as we look at these different spheres of our lives. We have that abiding peace, right? And the church sphere. We have all these elements of our lives, and we're going to journey through each of these. But I want to ask you here a question. Have any of you ever disagreed with anyone in the church before? Oh, yes, all of us, right? For any amount of time you've been around, you've probably disagreed with someone in the church. How many of you have ever been hurt by someone in the church before, right? Man, all of us, if you're around and in a group of people, regardless in the church, out the church, for any amount of time, the answer to those things is usually yes. But in the midst of that, what the enemy wants us to do is to formulate ideas or beliefs that I can't walk in the church, or the church is judgmental, or the church just is argumentative, or the church doesn't really know what it's doing. He wants us to have these skewed versions of what the church is. Sometimes throughout history, because there's people and because there's good people in each group, there's good cops and bad cops. There's people who have been in the church who aren't really believers or walking with God, but they claim to be in the church. The temptation is to go, you know, I'm done with it. But in the midst of that, God has a design for his church, and he cares about his church. And here's what we know. It's not just a building in which we go to. The church is actually the people. It's where the people are. We are the church. And I want to read you this in Ephesians 3, 6 through 12, and then I want to break down some stuff within this, but I want you to notice the different things that it's saying about God's design, God's plan, and God's church. This is what it says. It says, and this is God's plan, not Christian's plan, God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessing because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Listen to this in verse 10. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. I want to highlight some things in here because there's a lot said. First off, God's plan. Not Christian's plan, not Lonnie's plan, not Todd's plan, not Leroy's plan. For those of you who are watching, not your plan, God's plan. That God had a plan for us. And in the midst of that plan, he has given us his son so that all who would believe in his son, that he came and died and rose, that he conquered sin and death, and all who declare him as Lord and cry out in a heart of repentance are now children of God. Man, if that's not you yet, guess what? God wants that to be. And that was God's mysterious plan. That we would be able for all who would come to him to become his children. That in the midst of that, no matter what the background, Jews, Gentiles, whatever the background, that we would be one, that we'd be unified under Christ. that then we would have the privilege of serving him. Paul says, man, I don't deserve this privilege in serving this message of good news. And then that in that message, the purpose of all God's plan, the purpose of adopting us as children, the purpose of us getting to serve him, of us getting to become his people, was so that the church, in all its wisdom given to us by God, would display the message and the good news to all the kingdoms. And notice that it says not only heaven, it says not only here kingdoms, but heavenly ones. That we would be the ones, the church, the body of believers, children of God, all who've accepted him, that the purpose would be for us to go out and display his wisdom, his message, his promise, his truth, and have works of good service. That is the purpose of his church, so that those in darkness could hear and see the light. That us who are his kids would see Jesus in us. That as we go and we mess that up, because how many of us mess that up? That we would see that God has forgiven us, that there's a difference in us, not because of us, but because of Christ. That in that we can come boldly before him. Notice this, as we talk through these things, it's not just me and Jesus. It's not just me and my plan or my version of what that looks like, my wisdom or my cherry-picked version. He says the purpose is that you would be the church that he has defined. How has he defined it? People who believe in him, people who walk with him, people who have repented and are being changed and on this journey becoming more like him. And we do what his word says, regardless of how we feel about it. And here's the reality to that is a lot of the times we realize that we don't want our ways any longer. Sometimes we get boneheaded and we start thinking we want our ways. And God allows us to have those choices, right? But then we find out again that our ways lead to the places where we start to cry out to God again. But it's not just me and Jesus. Man, it says this in 1 John. It says, how can you say you love me, someone you can't see, if you can't even love the people who you can see in front of you? People who love God will love his people. People who love God will love and serve his people. People who love God will love and serve and pour their life out for the lost. Because that's who God is. Man, how many of you messed that up? How many of you want to wake up every morning and you're like, I just want to love everyone more than myself today, right? My kids, my wife, and especially that guy cutting me off on the side of the road, you know. We don't always want to do it. We sometimes give in to our flesh. Remember, too, that in the midst of this, if we want to have fuel in our journey, that the only power that gives us power to live according to these, outside of fear and obligation, true saving grace, accessed by our faith, is abidance with Jesus. Walking with Christ. He gives us the power to live out his design. I want to ask you this, and I know that there's been lots of areas where I've been hurt by different people in the church. When I was younger, man, I'd go to youth group. I felt, you know, I was at a bad spot, so who knows, but part of it probably is I deserve some of the stuff, right? I was a little bit of a booger back then. But in some, people hurt people, don't they? Same in the church. Man, did Peter deny Jesus 3 times? Did all of Jesus' disciples abandon Jesus when he was crucified? Was that not the core apostles, soon to be apostles of the church? And you see them abandon Jesus? Why do we think if the core apostles who walked years with Jesus hurt Jesus and hurt each other, that we don't think we'll do the same? Did God's plan come to fruition? Did the world hear the message? Did it go out all over the world? Has the world been changed and the message gone out? Yes. So did the church advance? Did God move through all of their brokenness? Yes. Why do we think that it's any different now? Can God work through us hurting each other? Yes. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. But sometimes when those things happen, we decide to get roots of bitterness inside us. We decide to become criticizers instead of solution finders. We decide to sit on the sidelines instead of getting into the game and help carry the loads of things. None of us are exempt from those realities. See, the beauty of the church is that we all know that we're broken. That's why we're here. So when we display brokenness, we go, I'm sorry. You're right. I jacked that up. I'm going to do it again. Would you forgive me? And we get up, and instead of criticizing, instead of pointing out, instead of sitting on the sidelines, instead of saying this thing's wrong and that thing's wrong, we in grace with the mind of Christ as we strive on this journey to the destination of growing spiritually, and that just means becoming more like Jesus, and we do it together. How many of you want to sign up for that? I do. How many of you, when you make mistakes, want grace? So how many of the people that make mistakes in the midst of our situations and circumstances need grace? Sadly, there are some things in the church, this doesn't apply to every context and situation. There's people who say the name of Jesus and do horrific things. That's why the Bible was warned us. Jesus warned us. He said, we are to test the spirits, that we are to watch out for the wolves in sheep's clothing. We're to weigh everything by the word of God, which would mean we'd have to abide with God, which means not just sitting in there in silence and kumbayaing, but actually knowing what the word of God says to weigh what these people are saying. Everything should be weighed by the word of God. Figuring out how to ingest this word of God into our lives, whether we listen to it, whether other people challenge us to do it. Man, for me, I really struggled to read. I was a high school dropout. Still haven't finished that area of my life. One of my biggest regrets coming out of addiction. But when I got into knowing God, I wanted to know God. Who he is, what he says, what the church is, what I'm supposed to do, what a father is, what a mom is, what my kids are supposed to be, to walk with people, to know it myself, and I had to really work hard and still do at times, but we are called to know the word of God and figure out how to apply it in our lives. For this, I want to ask you this question. Have you started to define the church the way that's comfortable for you or the way that you desire it to be? Cherry-picking different areas of it and discarding the others, we all can drift into those mindsets. I don't like the verses that say, pick up my cross and follow me. I like the verses that say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't like the verses that say, you know, I am to honor the people that I don't agree with, to turn the other cheek to my enemies. I like the one where it says, God has forgiven me. But both realities are true. How have I defined God's word and God's people and God's church in my life? And I don't say this to be like, oh man, I say this as the same wrestling match in my life. I tend to think I know what's best. I tend to go, I want to go this way. Anyone else? Am I alone? Right? We are to bring ourselves to how God has designed it. As we continue on in this discussion, he goes on in Ephesians and he talks about, okay, God's church is to look a couple of ways. It's to live according to God's plan, God's truth, God's promises. It's to go out and serve his people, to go out and display the message, but it also has a roadmap for us on what it looks like, on how we are to learn and apply truth into our lives. And it has a structure embedded into it. Ephesians 4:11 says this, says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown away about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, listen to this, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So God has a plan. He revealed it's his son Jesus for the salvation of all souls that would come to him, that the church is supposed to display his wisdom and his truth and his knowledge. But how is that structure supposed to be displayed? Where is it that we learn to accurately define roles and truth and promises? He says it is in Ephesians that his gift is the apostles, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists. Man, how many of you have ever disagreed with a leader in church before? Right? It happens. There's different ways of doing things. There's different vantage points. But whether we like that or not, God says there's a design and he has set up a structure that each place they went, there were elders that were appointed over local bodies. Here's what I hear a lot. You know, I'm all in for God's Big C church. But notice what he's writing here. He says, this is to the church of what? Of Ephesus, the local church. Yes, there are universal God's children around the world, but in each of these letters, he's writing to the local church. And here's what a lot of people do. They'll go into these different churches and they'll go, you know, I really like this, but I don't like this. So I'm going to come over here and I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to come over here. And you know, I like this thing over here. And I'm going to do all these three things, but I'm not going to be under any one of them because I'm a part of God's Big C church. We are a part of God's bigger church and people and God's children. But he writes to each of these and to each of these body of churches and who had their own eldership and structures and leadership. He says, man, commit to the structures and authority established so that you can know, and it's actually a gift. How many of you have been gifted or blessed by someone in the church before, a leader in the church? I have. Man, when I first came out of my addiction days, I was still really rough around the edges. And there was these leaders that came into my life. And man, looking back now, I didn't realize, but they came in and they loved me. They spoke the truth in love. They walked with me. They challenged me. They invited me into the environments that God has ordained that I come to learn. He ordained in his word. And they not only talked the talk, but I saw that they walked it. They lived it out. Here's the reality. People around us, they don't just hear what we say. They're watching our lives. Me coming out of that lifestyle, I was like, I'll watch. I know I want Jesus. He set me free. He forgave my sins and my addictions. And I know that. But I was still like, I don't know about the church. So I watched. And these godly people in my life journeyed with me, invited me in, walked into God's word with me, invited me into groups with them, had me come along. It was God's design. Then there were times where they told me stuff I did not want to hear and I did not like it. Anyone ever done that with you? It says in the end times that people will surround themselves with people that are going to tickle people's ears and tell people what they want to hear instead of being tuned to what God can do through people and their challenge and speaking truth. Do you surround yourself with people who only tell you what you want to hear? Or do you invite God's church and his design to challenge you when you don't want to hear it? Man, there's some times where people say things to me and I'm like, oh, they're right, but I don't want to listen. Like, man, you've been pretty prideful. I don't agree, right? And they have these challenges for me. Do we submit to what God has ordained for us? And here's the reality, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I have been so blessed by so many people in my life that I decided to walk humbly in. I could have ran off, and I'm sure that there were times where they're frustrated with me. But will we allow that? Will we submit to that? God says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and at the right time, he will exalt us. It's not easy to walk with Jesus. It's not easy sometimes when leaders have flaws and the church can sometimes be broken. And notice, though, throughout this, he says that we won't be tossed away by false teachings. So it isn't just go and do whatever. It's to know the truth and weigh it to the truth. But he invites us into these things. Again, do we define things how God has defined them or ourselves? Have we defined truth the way that God has or we have? Do we allow God to define the roles within the church, within our homes, within our lives? Or do we go, I don't like that very much? Here's what I know for sure. No one ever looked at Jesus and said, you know, Jesus wasn't the main, the Father was. Jesus' role is just not that important. No one's ever done that. Maybe. Everyone who's a real believer looks at Jesus and goes, Jesus was my Savior, but Jesus submitted to the will of the Father within the Trinity. Do we define things? And we're going to talk more about this throughout this series in these different spheres of our life. Do we allow God to define our lives in all these different areas? If you're following on our notes, we're to our last section. This is the section called Therefore. Man, I know there's some challenge in here as we look at these different parts of our life and different questions of ourselves. But I love Romans because it lays out why we do these things. Why do we allow God's plan to be the plan? Why do we allow ourselves to follow him when it's not always easy? This is what Romans 12 says. It says this. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. He goes, man, here's why you do these things. He says, because of Jesus. In the chapters before, it's talking about the mercy and the grace of God. And in chapter 8, it says that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither life nor death. Neither angels nor demons, because of what Jesus has done, not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of Christ. And he goes through these different things and he says, man, in light of all Jesus has done and who he is and what he's given and how he's adopted you to be his child, therefore, in light of this, offer your lives. Be a part of one body. Don't think you're better than anyone else. Don't think it's your way or the highway. You all belong to each other. We're all in this together. We're one in Christ. Will we follow him in this? This last verse here as the ushers get ready to transition into communion. One of my favorite verses. And if you have doubted God speaking to you in your life in this season, or that he's there, I want you to listen to this. And it also talks about his responsibility as someone as a part of God's church. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he has given us this wonderful message of reconciliation." Listen to this in verse 20. "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.' For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." I want to ask you, did you hear that today? He says, we speak for God himself when we plead, come back to God. If you're doubting God speaking to you in your life, he's saying when God's people get up and speak, it's as if God himself is pleading, come back to me. This message of reconciliation, he says, is for you. That those of us who are already a part of the church, we're on this mission and this journey, spreading this news. Would you hear that today? The ushers are going to come forward, and as they pass this out, I want to ask you this question. Don't miss out on these questions. Whether you're in here or on the line, hear this. I want to ask, what have you heard today? In Romans, it says, faith comes by hearing. If faith is what saves, when we hear it, when we receive it, what are you hearing today? Two, have you been trying to define your own life and your different spheres? It never works. Never works. Would you give that over to him? Three, do you need to take a step into God's defined life that he has for you? What area would that be? Four, do you see God is making his appeal today through his people? Whether it was worship, whether it was his word, whether it's in a moment where we're going to spend a moment in silence before him, God is speaking, it says, always working, always knocking at the door. If you're in here and you don't know who Jesus is, that message of reconciliation, if you're online, hear this, is for you. God loves you. There's no sin too great that he can't pull you out of and redeem. There's no brokenness too great that he can't remove and put on himself through the cross. If you feel far from him and you're a believer today, you get to come today and go, God, help me again. I'm right on track. He'll do it.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.